Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, chapter 43. In the last parak, Yochanan and all the people want to know what they should do after Gedaliah ben Achikam and the Bavli soldiers were killed. They say they will listen, even if they think it is wrong. Yirmiyahu davens to Hashem, who tells the people to stay. If they leave, they will be killed. This parak begins where the last parak left off. Yochanan ben Kareach and Azariah ben Hoshaya are highly disrespectful to Yirmiyahu and accuse him of lying that Hashem did not tell them to go to Mitzrayim. They accuse Baruch ben Neriah of tricking Yirmiyahu because he wants to hand them over to Nebuchadnezzar. Yochanan packs up the people and schleps Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriah to Mitzrayim. Yirmiyahu then has a nevuah and does a symbolic act to ensure the fulfillment of the negative nevuah regarding the people. The parak begins right after Yirmiyahu spoke with the people. They don't interrupt him, but when they are done, they are approached by a group. Azariah ben Hoshaya, Yochanan ben Kareach, v'chol ha'anashim hazedim, and all the willfully wicked people, they accuse Yirmiyahu. In the last parak, all the officers and Yochanan and Yazaniah ben Hoshaya came. In this pasuk, Azariah, Yochanan, and a group of men who the pasuk called zedim, wicked, come. It seems, according to Rav Breuer, that Yazaniah changed his name. His name meant Hashem will hear to a name that means Hashem will help. He is showing arrogance. He is showing that he disagrees with what Yirmiyahu says. The Das Sofrim says that this is Yazaniah's brother. The men are only from a specific group who are brash and abrasive. They're Zedim, they're wicked, they're arrogant. These people had potential. Klal Yisrael has within it the character trait of Azus, of being brazen. When it is used correctly, it allows a person the ability to overcome their doubts and cynicism when things seem impossible. When it is not used correctly, it leads to being oppositional and defiant. These people represent the choice of the nation at this point. Will they overcome their fears, or will they fight Hashem's representative? They say, Sheker ata medaber, lo shalachacha Hashem Elokeinu. You are speaking lies, and Hashem, our God, did not send you to tell us not to go to Mitzrayim. They use the same phrase as Gedaliah used to deny Yochanan's warning. They really wanted to go to Mitzrayim, and they thought there was no way Nebuchadnezzar would not hunt them down. There is a Jewish principle that one does not rely on miracles. A person should act with regard to what is considered reasonable and safe. Since Hashem would not want them to be put in a dangerous spot, and would not want them to need a nace, a miracle, they could not fathom that they should stay in Israel. It was just too dangerous. They viewed themselves as believers in Hashem. They talk about Hashem, our God, and they cannot believe that what Yirmiyahu says is connected to Hashem at all. It's not you, they say. It's the people around you. They gave you bad information. Verse 3, Ki Baruch ben Neriah mesis oscha banu. Your trusted servant Baruch ben Neriah is keeping information from you, and he is fooling you. He is inciting you against us. He has a devious plan. Laman teis osanu biata kastim, lo mis osanu, ulhagalos osanu babel. In order to deliver us into the hands of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry away captives to Babel. They were saying, Baruch ben Neriah loves the land of Israel too much, even more than he cares about the people. So he is willing to risk their lives so he can stay in Israel. In two prakim, we will learn how Baruch ben Neriah asks for nevuah and is turned down. The Barbanel says that the people suspect that Baruch ben Neriah has his own agenda. He really wants nevuah, and he knows that nevuah can really only come in Eretz Israel. Baruch ben Neriah would be willing to convince Yirmiyahu to stay to get what he wants, ignoring the needs of the people. Tragically, Yochanan ben Kareach and all of his captains and all of the people would not listen to Hashem as related to them by Yirmiyahu. While only a few spoke up against Yirmiyahu, no one agrees to stay. Yochanan took everyone, verse 6, as hagvarim vesanashim vesataf, the men, the women, and the children, vespinos hamelach, veskol hanefesh asher hiniach nevuzradan ravat avachim, and the king's daughters and every person that nevuzradan, the captain of the guard, had left, with Gedaliah the son of Achikam. They also took Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriah. Vayavo'u Eretz Mitzrayim, ki lo shamu b'kol Hashem, vayavo'u ad tachpanches. and they went to Egypt, they did not obey Hashem, and they arrived at Tachpanches. In Uncovering Sefer Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Landy says Tachpanches is Tel Dafana in the Nile Delta. It is on the outer border of Egypt, and it had been built into a fortress. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to do another symbolic action that would connect the negative nevuah to an action which would then make it unbreakable. Verse 9. Kach biyadcha avanim gedolos. Take big stones in your hand. Utman tam ba melet ba malbein. And hide them in the mortar in the framework. Asher bepesach beis paro betach panches leinei anashim yehudim, which is at the entry of Paro's house in Tach Panches, in front of the men of Yehuda. Do this publicly so everybody knows what you are doing. At that time, they were making bricks at the entrance of the palace. By putting large stones there, Yirmiyahu was signifying that Nebuchadnezzar would bring the reign of his country right there, right next to the palace. Nebuchadnezzar would not go into the palace, but it would come close. He should say, Hineni sholeach v'lakachti es Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel Avdi. Behold, I am sending and I will take the king of Bavel, my servant. Hashem is going to inspire Nebuchadnezzar to attack Mitzrayim, as Nebuchadnezzar is Hashem's servant, who is the tool to carry out Hashem's will. V'samti chiso mima'al avanim ha'ela asher tamanti, and I will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, v'nata es shafri ro aleihem, and he will spread his royal pavilion over them. Nebuchadnezzar is going to strike the lands of Mitzrayim, and similar to what happened against Yehuda, the punishment will be precise based on what each person deserves. Verse 11, Asher lamaves lamaves, those who are put to death will be put to death. Vasher l'shvi l'shevi, and those who are intended and deserve captivity will be captives. Vasher l'cherev l'cherev, and those who are intended and deserve to die by the sword will die by the sword. Nebuchadnezzar also says that Hashem will burn with fire the homes of all the idols and burn them. He will carry away captives and then fold up the land, meaning Nebuchadnezzar will take spoils. Just like a shepherd folds his cloth and moves his things from one location to the next location without leaving anything behind, Nebuchadnezzar will take all the spoils and move from place to place in Egypt. He's not going to set up any permanent camps. He's just going to despoil the country, take all their wealth, and then leave. After he accomplishes his goal, Nebuchadnezzar will be done. He will leave Egypt. Vayatza misham b'shalom, and he will go forth from there in peace. Finally, verse 13, Vishibar es matzvos beis shemesh. He will break the monuments of beis shemesh, asher be'eretz Mitzrayim, that are in the land of Egypt, v'zbatei elokei Mitzrayim misrof be'esh. And the houses of the gods of Egypt, he will burn it with fire. In this parak, the people respond to Yirmiyahu's warning not to descend to Mitzrayim. They accuse Baruch Ben Neriah of having dual loyalties and dismiss Yirmiyahu as being naive and a puppet of Baruch Ben Neriah. They flee to Mitzrayim, taking everyone, including Yirmiyahu and Baruch, with them. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to bury stones to symbolize that Nebuchadnezzar is coming and will pay back each person how they deserve. There is an important lesson in this parak that applies to each one of us. What happened when the people were faced with the message they did not like? They were scared, but they also knew that Yirmiyahu spoke to Hashem and had always looked out for their best interest. They couldn't argue with Yirmiyahu, so their defense mechanism kicked in. They said that the message was not Yirmiyahu's. In that way, they could ignore whatever Yirmiyahu said without any guilt. They said Yirmiyahu was being fooled by his disciple, who knew more, and who had manipulated him for his own purpose. They blamed Baruch Ben Neriah, who was essentially a gabbai, a helper, and who didn't have his own established reputation, and sidelined Yirmiyahu in the argument. Over the last 30 years, there have been many times when I have heard this kind of argument, that a particular leader had been fooled by those around him, or that the leader was out of touch with the real world. When reading this parak, it struck me that many times this might have been a human defense response rather than the reasoned response we thought it was. As I say this, you may think I am referring to a specific controversy, but having discussed these ideas with a few people, I realize we're all thinking about different controversies because this happens so frequently. When we disagree with someone we respect, our minds try to find a way to resolve the contradiction. If we can't be wrong, and they can't be wrong, then what went wrong? It must be the information or the other people involved who are wrong. It happens now, and it happens with Yirmiyahu. It has probably happened a lot over the last thousands of years as well. Do I need to believe everything I read, see, and hear without being a critical thinker? The Sefer was full of Nevi'ei Sheker, so it is our responsibility to vet what we are hearing and listening to. However, when we or another person use this argument to diminish a leader's proven authority as a technique to win an argument, we should recognize that it is a potential defense mechanism. Could it be true? Yes. There are those who use access to powerful people to wield power themselves. Could it be our way of legitimizing our ignoring of leaders who we know we should listen to? Yirmiyahu is telling us yes. Part of our battle as human beings is that we resist authority and want an even playing field, where my opinion weighs as much as the next person's. If we've all fallen prey to this tendency any time in the last number of years, and if it also happened thousands of years ago, and has happened so many times in between, what are we to do? Do we get depressed that imperfect human beings have remained imperfect? Every generation needs to work out this blind spot for themselves. But we have the help of Yirmiyahu to shine a light on it so that we can reflect, think, and improve. Awareness is the first step. When this kind of argument is raised, where leaders with greater knowledge and experience are dismissed based on our doubting whether they have been influenced, we need to recognize the technique and truly question our motives and the motives of others as to what each person would gain if this message is dismissed. If we keep a critical eye on our tendency to dismiss what our leaders say, when we hear hard truths that are legitimate, we will be more likely to accept them. Thank you for studying together, Lilui Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.